Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. We're in our series of Philippians, and today we're going to do something a little bit different, in that we're going to focus in on verses 20 and 21 next week, and the next message we'll look at verses 17 through 21, especially in context of our study today, and this is as well, but it's an excursion. Because we have a heavy heart over the death of a young boy, Ethan Powell, that was hit by a car and died. And just something about the shock and horror of thinking about a child dying, especially dying a tragic death, or any death for that matter. It's hard for us to comprehend. Ethan was a boy that I understand he loved the Lord, was growing in his faith and his understanding and his love for the Lord Jesus, and that's very, very comforting. His parents are Christians, and so that's good. And yet at the same time, there is that shock of wondering, you know, why these things happen. And we can't answer that question. We cannot answer the why. We don't know God's purposes, except for one thing we can say. As the psalm says, teaches us that the Lord teaches to number our days, and Psalm 139, that each day was marked out before one of them came to be. And so we trust that Ethan Powell, we believe that Ethan Powell fulfilled God's purposes for his life, and that is to the glory of God. Even within 10 years, he fulfilled the purposes for his life. But when we look at verses 20 and 21, as we see here, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." And in the with the thought of Ethan passing away, and I'm sure that many of you listening would say that you also have experienced the tragedy of a sudden death of someone, and it was very, very, very heartbreaking, as it should be. But for those who die in the faith, there is this great hope of one day receiving a body like his glorious body. There is glory and grace in verses 20 and 21. And as we read it with a full knowledge that Jesus Christ is alive. Paul writes this from the perspective that we would know from what he's written prior to this, that Jesus Christ is alive. He lives right now. He died, but was raised from the dead. And this is the good news of the gospel. This is the great news that has been heralded around the globe to the nations, that Jesus Christ is alive. And it's a message that for those who are in darkness and their eyes are blinded, it's incomprehensible, it's unbelievable. But for those who are being saved, this is the message of hope. And it changes despair to hope. It's marvelous and it's wonderful news. And it's marvelous and wonderful because Jesus Christ is alive for eternity. According to 2 Thessalonians 1:10, Christ will be glorified, the living Christ will be glorified in his people. And this assumes a people that have been raised from the dead, a people that are with him. And he will be glorified in his holy people, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, and marveled at among all who believe. This doesn't just imply, but it drives home the glorious truth that the people that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, have been given a new heart, new mind, will forever glorify him and praise him and marvel at him forever and ever and ever and ever. And when we see Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, and we see that he will give us a new body, transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. We're going to marvel at him in new bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says they're spiritual bodies. What's a spiritual body? I thought we were going to have a body. And we are going to have a body. This body is going to have flesh and bone. This body is going to eat. We'll see a verse here later on that'll prove this to us. But it's a body that's called a spiritual body, according to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think verse 50, maybe 48 or 49. But a spiritual body is a body that's fit for bearing the weight of glory, the glory of Jesus Christ reflecting upon us as we catch His glory and as we reflect His glory. We couldn't do that now. But for the saint that passes away, for all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one day when we receive these new bodies, and we won't receive them, we learn in verse 20, we eagerly await a Savior from there. Christ must come again. And when He comes again, then we'll receive our resurrection body. Then we'll receive bodies that are able to bear the weight of the glory of Jesus Christ. The very thing we were designed to do is catch and reflect His glory. And also these new bodies that we receive will be able to bear the weight of perfection, of our sanctification complete. This is good news. This is God's goal for all of history. First, we must say this, His goal for all of history is that we would glorify, that Christ would be glorified in His people. Remember, the name Jesus means He shall save His people from their sins. And so He will be glorified in His people, the ones He came to save. And He will be marveled at forever and ever and ever. There's something so magnificent that we can't even comprehend that. That how can one be so lovely? How can one be so awesome? How can one be so amazing that we could marvel at Him forever and ever and ever? And so it's fitting that we would understand that in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3, Paul is maintaining the same level of rejoicing that he has all through this letter. He's rejoiced in the resurrected Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, everything he's talked about, be it his own imminent death, as he thought, I could die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's thinking about the resurrected Christ. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. Anyone in the faith that passes away in this life, this body ceases to function, there is a separation from the body, and our soul is with the Lord forever and ever, and it's because Christ is raised from the dead. And then, to underscore it, one day we'll receive a body, a new body, a transformed body. You know what that means? We'll recognize ourselves. We'll recognize one another. Just like now we're being transformed. I maintain the same personality. Thankfully, the Lord causes us to grow up, causes me to grow up. Things that I do that are sinful or sinful attitudes are being changed, but you still know it's me. You know it's me, so I think we'll know one another. And just as when Jesus raised from the dead, I think He hid Himself, so to speak. The disciples wouldn't recognize Him some of the time. That was to prepare them to go on without Him present in body. But when He did reveal Himself and they recognized Him, they saw Him and they recognized Him. They looked at Him and they knew it was Him. So it's a beautiful thing that we see Paul rejoicing in the resurrected Christ all through Philippians. I would say in each of his letters, everything he writes is motivated by the fact Jesus Christ is alive. And that means that he once died. He had been dead, but now he's alive. And out of obedience to the Father, Christ was given a resurrected body. He was raised from the dead, and the obedience to the Father was to come and accomplish God's good will and pleasure, which is to redeem a people from death and judgment. Christ obeyed when the Father sent Him in the flesh. Go. And Jesus said, I don't know how many times in John, the Gospel of John, that the Father sent me. The Father sent me. The Father said, do this, go and redeem the people I've given you. Through eternal covenant, our covenant established before the foundation of the world, the people I gave you then, it's time, go. And the only way, the appropriate way for Christ to accomplish this was to become one of us, yet without sin. Perfectly fulfilling the law of God positively and then negatively suffering on our behalf as one who had sinned yet was without sin. So do this, my son, in obedience to my will. God was telling him, reminding the son, I am holy and just and must punish sinners. But do this act of substitution. Die in their place, taking the full brunt of my wrath to save them. So these verses assume an eternal covenant between Father and Son, a saving work done in time through the incarnation, his suffering and death and his burial, and then his resurrection and his subsequent ascension. And then Paul says, with this glorious term, because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, because of his work, look what it says in verse 20, for we are, and our citizenship is in heaven. Why? Because Christ accomplished the will of the Father, the good will and pleasure, and that is to save, redeem, ransom a people. And then it says, more importantly even, we're citizens of heaven right now, as we live on this earth, right now, we're citizens. This is a colony, so to speak. We're colonizing the earth to spread abroad the fame of a king who doesn't live here, who rules with all authority. Excuse me. We don't see his authority as one that would be sitting on a throne, but we see his authority as a Lamb of God working the message through his people as we proclaim the excellencies of a risen Christ. And this one who has all authority will return. We wait for a Savior from there who will transform our lowly bodies, our ordinary bodies, our non-perfectly functioning bodies, our bodies that are prone to cancer, prone to disease, prone to depression, prone to addiction, weak, underweight, overweight, bodies which are subject to death, even tragic deaths, like a 10-year-old boy struck by a car, and our hearts break. But there is hope that Christ will come for us. We may see him come in the clouds. We may see him ushering in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, bringing it with him. And we will recognize earth as it is. He's not replacing it. He's transforming it. He's bringing a new heaven and a new earth. Just as he transforms our bodies, we will know one another. We will know this earth that we marvel at God's creation. Some of us will be alive when he comes. Maybe not even anyone here, but somewhere along the line, there will be living believers who will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we pass away before he comes, we will be with him. We will be with him. Remember, Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. And now we learn we will be with him. God with us, we with him. Christ in us, us in Christ. Because Jesus lives, we too shall live. And he will transform our bodies. These cancer-prone, weak bodies, prone to death, he will transform them into new and glorious bodies perfected to catch and reflect his glory in, I don't know, infinite forms that will catch and reflect his glory. What I mean by that, I guess I should clarify, who can discern, who can comprehend the infinite perplexities and glories of Jesus Christ? But forever we will marvel at him, at his creation, at all he has done, at the works of his hands. In new bodies. Paul can't contain his joy as he thinks of the risen Christ in heaven having all authority. Everything is under his control. Everything, Paul says, he says in verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, speaking of his full authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will demonstrate his authority. We don't see it right now. He has not come as judge, but he reigns in heaven and he works through the church, the people of God, to proclaim his excellencies, to call people to lay down their arms of rebellion, to drop their swords, and submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinful man, the man whose mind is at enmity with God, who has not yet been transformed, who has not been transformed, will rebel against Christ, standing in his face, so to speak, and resisting to death. But for those who are being saved, Christ is clearly the Lamb of God who is slain from the foundation of the world for the redemption of the people God has appointed for salvation to be his people. We know Christ will come again and he will reign visibly. But when he comes, a glorious event will happen for all who have died in the faith. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Here's what this scripture says: "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Verse 18, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Our bodies, we will rise from the dead. We will be transformed instantly. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and 52. Transformed instantly. Paul writes this: "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Right now, our sanctification is progressive. It's really slow. We're changing. We're growing up. We're being transformed, being renewed daily, renewed in our minds, changed in the way we live and believe and behave, so to speak, growing up, maturing. And it's slow. It takes time. But this verse tells us that the perfection of our sanctification will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Boom! Faster than Bennett tells me, the eye blinks in like 1/100th of a second. That's how fast it'll be, full and complete, perfect. There will be no more growing as far as becoming able to catch and reflect the glory of God. There will be no more, it won't be a progressive becoming able to bear the weight of the glory of God or the perfection of the soul. That will happen instantaneously and forever and ever and ever. We will marvel, our minds will expand, our understanding of God will grow. And for those who have passed away in the faith right now who are no longer with us, they are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it kills us to think of a loved one passing away, but friends, it's only for a vapor, for a moment, that we won't be with them in the scale of eternity. And it hurts so bad right now. But there will come a day when we will see him face to face, marveling beside with the body of Christ. And I know, I am confident, we will recognize our loved ones who died in the faith, and together we will share in the joy of Jesus Christ, marveling at him forever and ever and ever. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 49. "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." Paul says, Philippians 3, 21, "Receive new bodies like his glorious bodies." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 49, "the likeness of the man from heaven." In Luke chapter 24, won't take the time to read it, but you can. 24 verses 37 through 43, Jesus appears to his disciples and he tells them, he points out, he's not a ghost. He asks them, do ghosts have flesh and bone? He had a body. He was in a resurrected body. They recognized him. Does a ghost have flesh and bone? The answer is no. Can a ghost eat? Because he said to them, do you have any fish? They said, yes. And he said, give me a piece of fish. They hand him a piece of fish. He eats, chews, swallows the fish in his resurrected body. Whatever it is that we think we lose on earth, Christ will return it 100-fold. Matthew 19 speaks about this. Whatever we think we lose on earth, houses, fields, brother, sister, mother, for Christ's sake, Christ will return it 100-fold. Not in this life, but in the life to come. Food, enjoyment, beauty. The days you may have set aside for serving the Lord and you think, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that, but yet in obedience to Christ and for the love of Him, you sacrificed a moment of pleasure for Christ's sake. He will return the pleasure in Him 100-fold or more. And we can know this and we can have hope and confidence in Christ. Whatever it is you think you've lost for Christ, a loved one, He will return it 100-fold. A boy 10 years old, the joy of a mom and dad, that joy will be returned 100-fold. I hope you find hope and encouragement from this message as we think about how the Lord Himself, with all authority, will transform, and the power of that authority will transform our lowly bodies to be like His. And there will be a rejoicing forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of Jesus Christ, in the company of the saints, among thousands upon thousands of angels, glorifying God with great joy. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.